Well, you can lead a horse to water, but what can you not do? You can't make it drink. Now, what's this all about? Well, you can show people how to do something. You can give them every tool that they need to accomplish it. You can make things as simple as you possibly can for people. But at the end of the day, you cannot force them to do it. You can even try to motivate them with all numbers of things. But at the end of the day, you cannot force them to do it. People have to make the conscious choice for themselves to follow through. They have to use the information that you've given them. They have to use the tools they've given them. They have to have the motivation to get up and do something. But at the end of the day, you and I, we cannot force somebody to do something. Now, in the hall at school, and I didn't put this up there, but in the hall at school, they have this noteboard that's there. And I love the message that it sends. And so it'll be right up here. I don't know if you can see that, but I love what it says. It says, meet the person responsible for your choices, your grades, your success, your actions, your words, your focus. And then all over the board, can you see what's there? Mirrors. Mirrors. That's a great question, though, isn't it? Who's responsible for all your actions? Who's responsible for all your choices? In our culture, we have this big problem with wanting to blame everybody. We have a big problem with people wanting to play the victim card all the time. They want to blame this or that or whatever it is for their situation, for the actions that they take, the choices that they take. People want to blame everyone but themselves. And sometimes we can find ourselves there too. But we need to understand, this is nothing new. This is not something that just kind of happened in 2025 America. This happened all the way back at the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, they broke God's command, and all of mankind was plunged into sin. And then God came, and he was talking to Adam, and he was talking to Eve. And what was the first thing Adam did? Well, God, the woman that you gave me that fruit. So who did he blame? He blamed Eve, and he blamed God, not himself. He blamed Eve, and then he blamed God. So God then talked to Eve. Hey, well, you know, what's going on? And Eve was like, well, the serpent made me do it. And so what did Eve do? She blamed the serpent. And so neither one of them accepted the blame. They wanted to push off the blame on somebody else. So it's nothing new to play the victim card. Ever since the fall, people play the blame game, blaming others for their circumstances, blaming others for their choices, blaming others for their actions. I was bullied, they say. I've experienced trauma. I have a diagnosis. They made me mad. They said this to me. They did all these things, and that's why I did what I did. Or that's why I view things the way I view things. Guys, we cannot blame anyone for the actions and the choices that we make, because at the end of the day, though, people really do experience those things. That's not to diminish those things. People do experience trauma. People do experience hard things. But at the end of the day, you and I are responsible for what we do. We are responsible for the choices that we make. And so who is really responsible for our actions, no matter the excuse? Well, as we look at Proverbs, we see in Proverbs chapter 4, if you'll turn with me there, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one somewhere near you in the pew back in front of you. Feel free to take that as our gift to you this morning. It'll be a black hardcover book there. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4 as we discover what the Bible teaches us about a choice that each one of us have to make. And so we're going to be there in Proverbs chapter 4. We'll read 1 through 27, the entire chapter. God's word. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one inside of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. and whatever you get inside. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you help us as we look at your word this morning. Help us to learn what you would have us to learn. Speak to our hearts by your spirit. Bear fruit in our life that we can follow Christ down the way of wisdom. And that leads to eternal life. Not because of how great we may be, we fall face short, but Father, because of how great and merciful you are, Father, we need you. We need your help. Grow us more into the image of Christ. Strengthen our faith. In Christ's name, amen. Well, dear friends, this passage is quite simple for us. It's pretty straightforward. Now, when you first look at it, it's like, man, what in the world is he talking about? Because there's like a lot of back and forth here. But what I want us to understand first and foremost is that there are only two ways to live. That's it. There's only two ways to live. There's only two options for how you're going to live your life. The way of the wicked and the way of the wise. So let's talk about the way of the wicked first. We see this idea of these two paths laid out for us there in starting in verse 10. But we're going to take a look at the way of the wicked first. And the way of the wicked, this first way of living your life, it leads you away from God. It leads you away from your Father in heaven toward the tyranny of your own passions, toward the tyranny of your own cravings and desires. It ultimately leads you to death and to destruction. And so the way of wickedness, it turns you from God toward the tyranny of your own sinful desires, sinful cravings, your own passions. In verse 16 and 17, we read about the people on the way of the wicked. They cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. So have you ever just been so worked up that you just can't sleep? Well, these people are so worked up by their desire to do wrong that they just couldn't sleep. They were just like, man, I got this itch that I got to scratch. And I got to do it. And then they can do it. And then they go to sleep. They're fine. It calmed them down. They're good. And so what he's saying here is like they have this strong craving that robs them of sleep to do bad things, to do wicked things, to follow the path that leads away from God. So they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. Now, when we're on this path, we don't often realize that we're on this path. Because a lot of times we feel decent about the things that we do. Sometimes we've been on the path so long that we don't feel bad anymore about some of the sins that we used to commit. Or we're on this path and we see people that might be further along down the path. And we're like, well, I'm not near as bad off as them, so I must be okay. But when we're on this path, we need to understand we find ourselves blinded by the seduction of our own sinful cravings. Hey, this is shiny. It's going to make you feel good. But it only will make you feel good for a moment. And then the guilt, and then the shame, and then the regret, and ultimately, death. That's where this path ultimately leads. Verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Our own sinful cravings blind us to the fact that we're walking in sin at times. Our own passions, our own desires. We always want to blame the devil for making us sin. That's not what happens. It's you. You make yourself sin. I make myself sin. We make that choice. And we're often blinded by the seductive power of our sin. And it leads us down this path of wickedness, away from God, toward the tyranny of our own passions. But there's another path. And we see this path mentioned in verse 10, starting in verse 10. And this is the way of wisdom, the path of wisdom, and it leads to life. And ultimately, it leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you'll remember, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about how Jesus Christ became to us the wisdom of God. And so to follow Christ is to follow the way of wisdom. To follow Christ, to follow Jesus, is to go down the wise path. And so if you're going down the way of wisdom, it leads to life, it leads from peace, and it leads ultimately to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Notice what it says there in verse 10, "Hear my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many." You see, they're the life, that the years of your life. Now, if you're a follower of Christ, how many years do you have? Just a few? 70? And if you're strong, 80? Maybe more? No, more than that. Jesus came that you not only would have life, but have an abundance of life. Do you know what that means? Eternal life. And so we read here that the years of your life may be many. And when you walk, this is in verse 12, when you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. The way of wisdom gives you the peace, the confidence, leading ultimately to eternal life. That no matter where that path takes you, no matter where the journey of your life takes you, you have this strange sort of indescribable peace, contentment in all your circumstances, knowing that, okay, I may fall, but I won't fall flat on my face. The Lord's there holding my hand. Like when you have a kid and they're running and you're holding their hand and you trip and you stumble, what do? You grab that kid's hand and you hold them up. You hold them up. Well, man, we're running through life and we often will stumble over different sins, over different trials, over different sufferings. And yet the Lord's still there. He's holding our hand. He's holding your hand so that you will not fall. And so he's there. He's holding you. He's giving you that peace. He's giving you that life. He's helping you have this contentment in all the things that you face. Now, we need to understand, we only see glimpses of this now. We can only see glimpses of the peace and the life and the joy that we have now while we follow Christ, as we go down this path of wisdom, following after Jesus Christ. But we need to understand that we're just in the beginning of our life. If you're a follower of Christ, you are in the beginning of your life. Those who don't follow Christ, their day is almost over. They're on the final lap. And then they're separated from God forever. But if you're a follower of Christ, your morning has just begun. Your life has just begun. This is just the very beginning of how long you will exist in the presence of God's peace and God's love. As you follow Christ down the path of wisdom, we begin to understand the way the world really works. We begin to see the world clearly as it really is. At first, we're blinded by our own sin. We're blinded by the seduction of our sin. But as we follow Christ down this path of wisdom, as we pursue Christ, the Lord gives us understanding. He opens our eyes to see the world, how the world really is. Have you ever wondered, like, how is it that people can really think some of the things that they think? They go completely against nature. They go completely against how God has created things, just the natural law of how things work, how people really can believe things that go against those that God has set up. Well, it's very simple. They're blinded by the seduction of their own sin. Their hearts, they're far from God. Their eyes have not been opened. Or they just haven't been discipled and gone followed Christ far enough down that path to have their eyes opened yet. But as you follow Christ, the path to go becomes more clear. He's going to direct your steps. He's going to allow you to see the world how it really is. Only a glimpse of it now, but even more so as time goes on. As you follow Christ, you become more aware even of your own wickedness. You become even more aware of your own failings, your own shortcomings, those things that tempt you, that you can avoid those things. You can start to see, okay, this is that I'm following Christ, and I know I struggle in this area, so like I need to try to avoid that type of situation where I won't fall into that trap, where I won't be led off the path. Doesn't mean you'll ever be perfect. None of us are perfect. But it does mean that you're going to have a greater understanding of your own wickedness. A person who has followed Christ and who is growing in the Lord, what they realize is how much they don't deserve it. How much they don't deserve the grace of God. The more you're aware of what Christ has done for you, and the more you're aware of who Christ is, the more you realize how desperately in need of a Savior that you are. We all need that Savior. And that Savior to us is Jesus Christ. And so as we follow Christ, we're given not only the awareness of our sin, but we're given the ability to turn from it, to leave it down behind us, looking forward to that time when our faith becomes sight. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day." Now each person, they begin their life on the path of wickedness. Okay, all of us, that's where we start. Sometimes we have this idea that most people are good, that we're born neutral, but there is no neutrality. No one is born neutral at a fork in the road, able to decide, am I going to the left or am I going to the right? Am I going to the wicked or am I going down the path of the wise? Am I going to make bad choices or am I going to make good choices? We're not born neutral. The Bible never teaches that we're born neutral. Doesn't matter how many songs they make about how good people are. We are not by nature good. We are by nature born on the path of wickedness. There is no neutrality. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Friends, when we were born, we were born onto the path of wickedness. In other words, we were born enemies of God. Did you not hear what it said? It said children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. If you're not a follower of Christ, you need to understand God's wrath is abiding on you right now. You're like, well, I'm living pretty good. You know, I don't really feel it. Hey, that's because God's being kind towards you. His patience is meant to lead you to repentance, to turning from your sin and turning to Him. But if you're not a follower of Christ, the floodwaters of His wrath are building up upon the levee, and the levee's breaking. And before long, it will flood and drown you. We are all born enemies of God. And we deserve to stay on the path of wickedness, and we deserve to ultimately be killed. Like, God would be completely just to kill every one of us right now. Doesn't matter how old or how young we are, God would be completely just to kill every one of us right now. But the good news is that Jesus became your sin. Our sin is what has us on the path of wickedness, but Jesus became your sin. He took your sin and my sin on the cross, all of it, past, present, and future. knowing everything that you would ever do. He went to the cross while you were sinners, before you got yourself all nice, dolled up, hair done, makeup on, all those things. He got everything, every sin you would have committed, he paid for it on the cross. And that's how we know he loves us. Because while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He took our sin on himself. He experienced the wrath of God that you and I deserve. He died. He paid for that. He rose again. And because he rose again, we now, if we have trusted Christ, are given the ability to live in a newness of life. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the word of God, of the glory of God. So when do we come to that fork in the road? If we're all born on this path of wickedness, when do we arrive at that fork on the road? Well, for different people, it's at different times. For some, it's when they're really young. For others, it's when they're quite older. But it's whenever you hear the word of truth. Whenever you hear the word of truth, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when you come to the fork in the road. That's when you have a choice you've got to make. Will you continue down the path of wickedness, or will you turn away from your sin and follow Christ down the path of righteousness that leads to eternal life? The thing is, no one can do this for you. You have to make the choice. I can't force you to follow Christ. I can't grab you by your toenails and drag you off of that path. Wish I could. Maybe not your toenails. That might be gross. But I wish I could. Just like, don't you have those that you love that you wish that you could just bear hug them and drag them over to follow Christ because you know what's coming for them? And you love them and you care about them and you wish that you could just make that decision for them. But friends, your parents don't make that decision. I don't make that decision. Your friends don't make that decision. Where you're born, how you live, those things, they don't make the decision. You have to make that decision. And if you choose to follow Jesus, then praise God because he's opened your eyes. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And so, friends, each person is responsible for how they live. Each person is responsible for if they're going to follow Christ or they're going to follow their own life, their own wickedness. Solomon, I don't know if you noticed this, but in Proverbs 4, Solomon urges his son 19 times to hear his instruction, to listen to him, to obey the words of wisdom that he's taught. And that doesn't even include the fact that Solomon's passing down what his father David, I mean, we read about that in the beginning of Proverbs 4. And so he's saying just Solomon himself to his son over 19 times, hey, listen to this, follow this, do this, be wise, follow the wisdom of God. And then he said, but you know, this isn't just my wisdom. This is wisdom that was passed to me from my father, from David. And so you have like this intergenerational wisdom being passed down. That's not just their wisdom. It's wisdom from God. And they're passing it down. And so if you combine it all, it's well over 20 times within these 27 verses that Solomon is urging his son, walk down this path. Follow Christ. Because that's all he can do. All he can do is urge over and over and over. Follow Christ. Follow wisdom. I try to set the example. I fail at times. That's what he's telling his son. But follow after wisdom. He can't force his son to do it. All he can do is share the truth and hope that God will bring fruit from it in his son's life. Only his son can make that choice. No one can force you to turn from your sin. No one can force you to repent from your sin even now, even if you're saved. Like, you need to understand that we still come to those forks all the time when we're tempted or when we find ourselves in sin. No one can force you to turn from sin. You have to do it. I can't make you do it. Your friends can't make you do it. The law can't make you do it. You have to do it. You have to turn from sin. Only you can do that. No one can force you to follow Christ. You're the one that has to turn and believe. Only you can do that. And so there's two paths that are set before us. The way of the wicked and the way of the wise. Wicked, it leads to death, destruction. But the way of wisdom, it leads to life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. But only you can decide which path you take. That's only you. It's on you. You're the one that can do that. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you don't follow Christ, then first and foremost, that's what you got to do. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have sinned against God. You're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer at heart. But guess what? You're in good company, because that's all of us. Every single one of us. And that's just a few of the Ten Commandments. And if God judges us based on His law, and He will, then every one of us are guilty. And if we're guilty, does that mean heaven or hell? Hell. Separation from God, enduring His just wrath for all eternity. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, became our lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterous selves for us on the cross. He had no sin, but He took our sin, became our sin, died, was buried, rose again, so that we can have forgiveness, eternal life, and walk in a newness of life, an eternal life. So if you're not a follower of Christ, first and foremost, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And when you trust Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit inside of you, who then enables you more and more to walk in the way that He would have you walk. That allows you more the more to die to sin and to live for Him. So many times Christians want to focus on people's sins that they're committing right now and try to convince them that those sins are wrong. We need to understand, we need to share the gospel. God will start changing the heart and the life. Share the gospel. And when someone receives the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes inside of them and He starts to change their life. If you haven't followed Christ, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He will begin to change your heart. He will begin to change your desires. Now, how many of you in here are grandparents or parents or around children that you have influence over? Even though you cannot force someone to make the choice that you would have them make, you still have the responsibility and the duty from God to share the truth with them. There is a movement in our time where parents do not want to influence their children religiously or politically. They don't want to influence their children. They want their children to come to their own decisions. Guys, that's straight from the pits of hell. Straight from the pits of hell. If you're doing that, you are abdicating your responsibility that God has given you. God has given you the responsibility to raise your children, to train them up in the way that they should go. And I promise you this, if you're not training them, the world already is. They're already doing it. Through the television, through the movies, through the school system. I'm a public school teacher, right? But the schools, just state curriculum, is secular. It leads us away from Christ. So if you're not doing it, the world already is. We must train our children. We must influence them, not allowing them to choose for themselves. When they get to the right age, sure. But while they're still under your roof, you have the responsibility to share the truth of God's word with. I mean, listen, Solomon, how many times did he share again? Do you remember? Over 19 times he was urging his son, follow the Lord, follow the Lord. It is our responsibility to train up children in the way they should go, to share the truth with children in hopes that God would bear fruit. We can't force them to do it. But we sure as heck can share the truth of God's word with them. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon was talking about evangelism. And Charles Spurgeon, he's a Calvinist. I don't know if you know what that is. But he's a Calvinist. In other words, he's someone who believes that God chooses who gets saved. But he said this about evangelism. And I love how he said it. He said, if someone's going to go to hell, let them climb over our bodies to get there. In other words, if someone's going to reject Christ, if someone's going to go down this path of wickedness, never turning to Christ, ending up in hell, then man, our bodies ought to be littered in front of them so that they have to climb over us to get there. Let us give ourselves to sharing the truth of God's word so that at least we know we did everything we could to convince them to follow Christ. Because at the end of the day, each one of us are responsible for the decisions that we make. Father God, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that even though we are born on this path of wickedness, that you have sent your son who became our sin, and you have given us his righteousness by our faith through what he has done, that you have transferred us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of your beloved son. Father, we ask that you would help us to guard our hearts as we go through this life. Not only that, that you would help us to diligently search your word and be in prayer about all the decisions that come our way. Father, help us not to do as the world and blame everyone for what we decide to do. But Father, let us take responsibility for what we do, knowing that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us ever renewing hearts that long to live for you. Father, we know we cannot do this on our own. We need your grace through your Son. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.